This week's parsha talks about when the Yidden went down to Mitzrayim. Everyone knows about how we left Mitzrayim. But how did we get there? Weren't we all in Canaan? How did we even get to Mitzrayim? There's a story how the Yidden went down to Mitzrayim because they found out that Yosef is their brother, who's the leader of Mitzrayim, and he invites them down, and they came down. And this is how the story begins, eventually leading them to slavery because the Pharaoh changes, and Yosef dies, and then eventually there's slavery, which eventually leads to the Geula, the redemption. But how did he get down there? This is the way to get down there. On the way, it says that Yaakov sent Yehuda in front of everybody else to open up a yeshiva. Before the Jews went down to Egypt, there was already a yeshiva there, ready to greet them. Because Jews need Torah in their life. Obviously, it was a Chabadas. So the point is to be there for every single year so that always Torah continues, wherever you go. On the verse, he sent Yehuda ahead of him to show Lohiris, the way to Goshen. Rashi, based himself on the Medrash, comments that Yaakov sent Yehuda to set up a house of study from which directives of law would emerge. Here we go. A place of Hira. When Hashem told Yaakov to descend to Egypt, Yaakov clarified at the outset ahead of him that there would be yeshivas where his descendants would study Torah. Yaakov made sure there should be Torah learning there. True, Hashem had promised him that he would accompany him. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also certainly bring you up. Nevertheless, Yaakov made the effort to establish yeshivas beforehand. Only then would he go there together with Hashem, because yeshivas are the foundation that maintains the Jewish people. The yeshivas that Yaakov founded endured for the entire time the Jews sojourned in Egypt. As our sages say, throughout the days of our ancestors, a yeshiva never left them. When they were in Egypt, there was a yeshiva with them, as evident from the verse, "Go and gather the elders of Israel." Right? The point is, Yidden always had a yeshiva, a place to study Torah. In every era, and in every place where Yidden lived, even in Egyptian exile, which was exceedingly difficult exile, there was yeshivas where the Yidden studied Torah. The reason, as stated previously, the very existence of the Jewish people depends on yeshivas. Now, number two. Egyptian exile was the most difficult of all exiles, more challenging even than the present exile for several reasons. What is more difficult, what we're going through today or Egypt? The Rebbe is now going to give, I believe, four different reasons why Egyptian exile was worse than today. Here we go. Number one, the Egyptian exile preceded the giving of the Torah. It was before Matan Torah. True, even then the Jews studied Torah, as evident from many statements of our sages, including the statement quoted above, throughout the days of our ancestors, the yeshivas never left them. Nevertheless, they were studying Torah with their own power. Since they were created beings, they had inherent limitations. No matter how high a created being can reach, it can be no higher than the source of its creation. In other words, like this. You can only reach up to a certain point on your own. Pre-Mountain Torah, pre-Torah giving, people studied Torah, but it was on our own initiation. After Matan Torah, we became limitless. Because now Hashem broke the gap, and Hashem is giving it to us. Now we're learning something that we got from Hashem. That's why it's called Matan Torah, the day that Hashem gave us the Torah. Now we're not limited, it's not our own initiation. We're not connected to Hashem when Hashem is limitless. It's a whole different kind of thing, because Hashem broke the gap. We know before Mount Sinai there was a gap between heaven and earth. So you can do how much you could, but ultimately we're limited because it's on your own. So that's number one. So they learned Torah before Mountain Torah, but it wasn't you can't compare it to Torah after Mountain Torah when Hashem connected Himself to us by way of Torah, by giving it to us, and therefore we became unlimited capacity of our learning. Two. The Egyptian exile was the first exile that the Jews underwent. As such, it was extremely difficult to bear. As we see, the first time a person suffers a tragedy, heaven forbid, it is very difficult to endure. However, if he suffers the same tragedy again, heaven forbid, it is not that difficult to undergo because he's already experienced it. Everything in life, the first time is the hardest. So the first galus was the hardest one. Number three. All the Jews were together during the Egyptian exile. By contrast, concerning the later exiles, our sages relate that the Holy One, blessed be He, performed a kindness for the Jewish people by spreading them out throughout the nations. Since the Jews live in different places, if the Jews are oppressed in one place, they can find respite in another. Those who do not suffer persecution can help those who are confronted by difficulty. However, in Egypt, all the Jews were in one place and under one oppressive ruler. Number three, following, Jewish people throughout time were always spread out. So Yidden in America can help the Yidden during going through Germany or through going through Russia, because we're spread. But then all the Yidden were under Egypt. There's no Yidden anywhere else. So we're all under one rulership. Number four, Egypt was a harsh land. Not even one servant, the quote says from Mishnah, from Medrash, not even one servant could escape from there. Yet it was necessary for 600,000 men as well as women and children to flee. Right? We were about 2 million strong when we left Egypt. And how could we all leave when officially even one, it was so guarded, even one slave couldn't leave. Nevertheless, in the face of all these difficulties, the yeshiva never left them. They were always yeshivas where the Jews studied Torah. So the lesson we take from as of now, before we go on to what's the lesson to us? What's the first message that we take? This that we should know: Yidden always studied Torah. What is the source from which these feelings come to yeshiva? Come to yeshiva student from the surrounding atmosphere. True, the Rebbe Rayat says that the ice of America, the apathy towards genuine Jewish involvement, has already begun to melt. Nevertheless, there is a great difference between the ice starting to melt and reaching a state in which one is steaming with the warmth generated by Hashem, your Lord, as a consuming fire. Furthermore, some remnants of the ice that existed beforehand remain, and these students are affected by these remnants. Some justifications exist for these students who think this way. It is not inherent to them. It comes from the atmosphere of the surroundings. Right? They're ever saying it's not their fault, it's the fault of America. That said, it should not be this way. There is also a lesson from this week's Torah reading regarding this point. In Egypt, besides it being a very difficult exile, the conditions were so difficult that they could not even contemplate leaving exile. They couldn't even imagine leaving Mitzrayim. When Moshe came and conveyed the message of redemption, they did not listen to Moshe because of their shortness of spirit and their difficult work. But look at the positive. Nevertheless, even when they were severely oppressed, before Moshe came and told them in Hashem's name, I have brought you to my attention, they did not make any reckonings about what will ultimately be. They established yeshivas, studying there and learning Torah. How much more so is this true at present? The thoughts of what will be in the future should not enter a student's mind. He should sit and study without making any calculations. This is particularly true because our service of Hashem is much easier today than it was then. As is well known, with the shattering of the vessels of Tohu, 288 sparks of godliness fell and became embedded in the world's material substance. Of these 202 were elevated through the Egyptian exile, as alluded to the verse, a mixed multitude, Erev Rav, ascended with them. Rav is equivalent to 202. Only 86 sparks of godliness remain. 86 is the numerical equivalent of Hashem's Elohim. Over the course of centuries, with sweat and blood, many of these 86 sparks have been elevated. Only small jugs remain that must be elevated. As such, the service left to us is much easier. First, only a small number of sparks remain to be refined, and secondly, the sparks that have already been refined and assist in these efforts. That's the end of this talk, but I want to explain the last thing that we just said. So, mystically, kabbalistically, there's something called a very elevated energy before the world came to be. It's called Tohu. It shattered because there was too much elevation, too much divine light, and something called Ur and Keli, which means that, let's say you have a cup here with L'chaim, so you need to have the cup and the alcohol needs to befit each other. If you put alcohol in a paper cup, it's going to sip right through. If I put a hot water in a plastic cup, it's going to melt it. You have to have the right type of vessel for the right type of liquid. So everything's like that. You need the energy and the vessel needs to be compatible. So there was a world prior to this world called Toyu, Olam HaToyu, which is that the divine power, liquid, let's say, or energy, was much greater than the vessels, and the vessels shattered. And that was shattered, and that fell into the physical of this world, gashmis of this world.
The Big Bang.
So there was 288 sparks. But 202 left with the Yidden when they went into Eretz Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim. From then, there's 86 left. And as remember, most of them was already completed. And when Mashiach comes, it's basically when all the sparks are elevated. And therefore, mitzvahs are always performed with physical things in throughout the world to elevating these last sparks. In fact, many years later, the Rebbe says, this is only like in the 50s. By the time the 90s came about, the Rebbe says that we finished already all the sparks already. It's all done.
Oh, there's no more sparks.
Yeah. And therefore, now the time is not about healing the world from negativity, but more about preparing the world for Mashiach. In other words, let's say we're having a big party, and making a big party in this house. So first, the first step is to clean the dirt, and then after all the dirt is away, now it's all about setting up a table properly. So the dirt, all the negativity is already refined. Now all the world is now every mitzvah that we do is all about preparing the table, getting the place ready for Mashiach's arrival. But the point I'm trying to say, the Rebbe is saying, is that because of that mindset, because we realize that, therefore, it's much easier than it was back then by Galus Mitzrayim, and therefore, back then, even in the harshest of times, we were able to have an anchor of Torah, yeshivas, even in Galus Mitzrayim. So too, the same thing is over here. We have to have yeshivas. We have to support yeshivas, and we also have to support Torah learning in everyone's life. Supporting means to come to it, to spread the awareness, to be when you come here, you're fully, you're not preoccupied, so you can study, you soak it in, and this is what we need. So even if we don't learn every day, we only learn once a week, but that once a week that we learn Torah, we can soak it in, and we could then live with that energy for the next week. It's how it's supposed to be. A yid needs to be made of Torah. And what happens is whatever we read in the news or we hear from things, whatever it is we read, we watch, it affects us. But we don't want that to affect us. We want that to first, the primary thing of our life should be Torah. Then everything else can come. And then when your primary makeup is Torah, everything else that comes your way doesn't affect you. Otherwise, it could be a stress ball today. Just from following the news. Forget about it from people's business. But if you have Torah in your day, then everything is number two. And because of that, you take everything with a grain of salt. Nothing gets to you because you're made of something timeless, something much greater than any piece of news comes and goes. Because you're connected to something timeless, which is Torah. That's our true identity, and that's our true connection and l'chaim.